You're listening to Something Weird. I'm Brooke, and this is Anna.
Hello. Here you'll find semi-regular dialogue on all things paranormal, or just even a little bit weird. We're lifelong friends who've had an affinity for the strange since we first met, and now we're here to fling into the peculiar with you.
To fling? That's fun. Oh, goodness. You probably know, and if you don't know, each week one of us will dig into a paranormal tale as we ponder the question, do we want to believe? And it's back to me. I'll admit I'm a little bit nervous about this one. I've had it in my back pocket pretty much since we started this.
Dang.
Which seems like a lifetime ago.
It does. We've had 27 episodes.
That's pretty impressive. Honestly, the fact that we did more than 10, I'm like...
The fact that we did more than 5 is pretty admirable.
Actually, to the me. Fact that we followed through on a plan is unlike us. So...
I guess they say do what you love,
right? I guess we figured it out.
Making $0 a lifetime.
Doing something solely for us. Whatever. So yeah, I've had this one for a long time. You've actually talked about it, and then I told you to stop talking about it because I didn't want you to ruin it. Actually, you might have posted on our Instagram about this. But
that could be many, many things.
The shit that goes through that feed. This week, I'm going to tell you the long and twisted and confusing and complex and just good old fucked up family history of the Habsburg family, the royal dynasty of Europe.
Yeah, no, I definitely did not post anything about them because I don't know anything about
them.
Are you
sure? Okay. All right. Maybe you don't know the Habsburg family, but you've probably heard of the royal family that met its demise by inbreeding. I guess not.
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. Maybe I am confusing it with something else, but maybe you are.
Oh, well, great. Let's just pretend like you don't know, and I'm going to tell you all about them. So the Habsburg dynasty traces back to the Middle Ages, and their dynasty reigned throughout Europe and actually crossed, like, all through the world into the early 20th century. And... this family is not only known because of very famous names that are kind of tied to the family, like Marie Antoinette and Archduke Franz Ferdinand, who that was the assassination that started World War I. They're not known because of that. They're known because years and years and years of inbreeding ultimately led to their demise and dying off.
Sick. Come on, people. Is it that hard not to bang your cousin?
Sister?
Or, yeah.
Sure. I don't know. Well, we could ask a Habsburg, but we can't. All right. So the Habsburg dynasty reached the height of its power in the 16th and 17th centuries. And this was the Spanish and Austrian lines of, I don't know, what do you call that? Like, I guess lines of succession that ultimately came together to form the House of Habsburg. By the 16th and 17th century, they had completely dominated Europe. And they married one another in order to keep the bloodlines pure and to make sure that territory continued to remain under their control. In the end, we see cousins marrying cousins, uncles marrying nieces, and I'm going to do my best to take you through the long, complex trail of the fucked up marriages within the Habsburg that led to them dying off.
So if you think of this as like a family tree, it's not a nice maple or apple. This is like...
This is like...
A Seuss tree.
Yeah. What I imagine this being like is like a kaleidoscope. You know, when it's like all the like lines that you see as you turn it, they just get more and more blurred and just start taking new shapes. And then all of a sudden you're in a big spiral. Like, that's what happened.
Oh my gosh. It's new shapes, like they're embryos and fetuses.
Pretty much. It's troubling.
Okay.
So let me do my best. Don't be surprised if you get lost, because you probably will after the first couple of names. We're going to go back to the beginning of that Habsburg Empire, and we look... Our first guy is Rudolf the First, and he became king of Germany in 1273. So he was a member of the Habsburg family, and that family had been, like, around and significant since, like, the 11th century, but they kind of grew in status. And then by 1273, our guy Rudolf was actually elected to become king of Germany, because that's how they used to do it back in the days. So with that, he obviously gained a lot of control over territory. And within his first couple of years reigning over Germany, he seized Austria. In 1281, he ended up giving his Austrian possession to his son Albert. And so from that point on, Austria and the House of Habsburg, that, like, family lineage, are one. So that's really where we see this start, is 1281. Now we're going to jump forward a couple of generations. So down the line of the Habsburg family, we come to Maximilian I. He was the son of the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick III. So this guy, Maximilian, he ended up marrying Mary, who was the daughter of the French King Charles, in 1477. So by marrying Mary, the French daughter, they were able to expand their influence pretty significantly. So the marriage resulted in Maximilian gaining control of the Netherlands, Luxembourg, and significant parts of France.
Jeez.
Yeah. Mary died, unfortunately. And he later remarried Bianca, who was the daughter of the Duke of Milan. So now all of a sudden, he's got a little piece of Milan under his belt as well.
Dang.
Yeah.
Just powering through.
Yeah. Which is so crazy that that's how it worked for so long.
That's all it
just
took.
Just like, you get a daughter, you get the land. It's ridiculous.
And a lot of land.
Yeah. So when Mary died, that caused a lot of problems, obviously, for Maximilian, not just because he lost his wife, but because Mary died, he now had to maintain control of the Netherlands that he had gotten because of the marriage to her. He struggled quite a bit to maintain that control, and he did successfully until 1518 when he died. The House of Habsburg ended up losing a really significant portion of their kind of European hold. Philip was the son of Maximilian, and he ended up marrying Joanne of Castile. So Joanne was the daughter of Ferdinand and Isabella of Spain.
Sorry, really quickly. When Maximilian's son,
Philip,
was that his son from Philip? Was that from his marriage with Mary or Bianca?
Bianca.
Okay.
Yeah, because he kind of lost claim. At least that's what I think. Because he lost claim over a lot of what Mary brought to the table when Mary died. So Bianca and Maximilian, they have Philip. And Maximilian is like, I need to make sure that we can keep, like, gaining territory. So we need to make sure that Philip marries someone super significant and powerful. So they set their sights on Joanne, who, again, is the daughter of Ferdinand and Isabella of Spain. And their family is, like, big shit. So they're going to come with a lot of money, a lot of land, a lot of prestige. Like, it's a really significant win to marry into this family. While they were successful and they got a ton of land and a ton of wealth, these two royal families coming together is where we see this long, twisted spiraling of inbreeding that destroyed the family. So thanks a lot, Joanne.
Good job. Good job.
It's not her fault at all. So Joanne inherits Castile. After her mother dies, Isabella of Spain, she ends up inheriting Castile. And her father just kind of like oversaw it. But technically speaking, Castile was Joanne's. By that, it's Philip's as well. So Philip just got this big territory gain in Spain. And he ended up negotiating a treaty with Joanne's dad to completely take over control and give Castile over to him.
Okay.
At the same time, Joanne is suffering from crippling mental health issues. And Philip uses that to his advantage and ends up taking authority over Castile and just, like, completely walking all over her and just taking away everything that was hers.
What a shit.
Yeah. So at that point, once Philip kind of takes over or takes Castile from Joanne, the Spanish and Austrian houses of Habsburg are, like, officially one line. So at this point, they just, like, boom. And they're insanely powerful.
Wow. Okay.
But to focus on Joanne for a little bit, because she did just get completely, like, railroaded and screwed over in this, her mental health, according to some, like, historical documents, a lot of people knew that obviously she was struggling, but they just believed her to be mad, and they actually called her Joanne the Mad. But she said, yeah, real original. She said that she wasn't crazy, that she was just suffering from jealousy issues because she believed that she inherited Castile from her mother and it was her right. So she was just saying, like, hey, I'm not crazy. I just want what's mine. I don't blame you, girl.
Same. Like,
I don't think that makes you crazy. But we don't actually know. I mean, historical documents for the most part say that she was crazy in some way. But you could also just see she was a tragic victim of just some, like, political puppet that got taken advantage of. Yeah, it's terrible.
And, you know, maybe she was troubled. Maybe she had some mental health issues. But her asking for, you know, what was hers is not part of that at all. Gosh, no. Yet again.
Yeah. And historians for a long time believed that she suffered from depression or bipolar disorder. But there's also a very strong likelihood that all of this was exaggerated by her husband and her father as they were, like, fighting over claims to the territory. Ugh, so
poor Joanne.
I know. Poor girl. A little bit of poetic justice, though. Philip, the husband, only lived a few months after he declared Joanne incompetent to hold the crown of Castile. So after his death, Ferdinand, the dad, Joanne's dad, retook control of Castile, but unfortunately had Joanne confined to prison.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. It's not looking good for the women in this tale. So, yeah, she was confined to prison, and this is where she died. Like, her mental health just completely spiraled, and that was it for her. Ferdinand did die eventually, thankfully, her dad, in 1517. So Joanne's son Charles, who she had with Philip, he inherited Castile and the other Spanish possessions. So now it's Charles that's going to be kind of passing things down.
Okay.
Okay, so now we're into the early 16th century. The Habsburg house, they've got their hand in everything at this point. Most of Western Europe, and even into, like, the new Americas, they had their hand in through marriages. They were just really good at marrying the right people. Now Charles, the son of Joanne, Charles I of Spain, he became the Holy Roman Emperor. His sister, Isabella, married into the Royal House of Denmark, and his brother, Ferdinand, married Anne of Bohemia and Hungary. So that entire family just married and gained serious territory in, like, one sweep.
Were they attractive? Or just really wealthy and, like, people wanted that power?
I think they were just really, really wealthy. Google them. Actually, wait, don't. I'll tell you when to Google them. Because for a while, I mean, they were just, all you have is, like, drawings of them, which I'm sure are not accurate of what they actually looked like. For a while, they were just, you know, white, rich-looking people. Okay, ultimately, kind of after Charles and all of his siblings, like, marry into these really significant families and gain a bunch of territory, now they've got, like, so much control that their number one concern is maintaining it. So it becomes a lot more difficult and a lot more complex to figure out how this big web of people can keep marrying into different countries and different territories to, like, maintain their power. And this is where shit just gets nuts. At this point, nothing was really that, like, bad or scandalous, because cousins marrying cousins wasn't that big of a deal back in the day.
Yeah.
It happened quite a bit. You could look at a lot of, like, significant leaders. Henry II of England, Louis VII married his second cousin, Eleanor of, no, I don't know how to say that. People did it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, even Isabella and Ferdinand of Spain were second cousins. So it's, like, not that unheard of. But the Habsburgs took it a little too far.
Or a little too close.
Yeah, true. So as the family connections of these, like, dynasty marriages, they were becoming pretty problematic from a genetic standpoint. But at the same time, they were actually problematic in the eyes of the church. So the church was actually really hard on what's called consanguinity, which is just marriage within the same bloodline. And according to the church, this was not okay. So that's good.
Huh, the church was right back then about something.
But issue was, the Pope often, in matters of, like, royal families, would make allowances for it. And he would let the same bloodlines marry each other because of, like, royal matters. And I'm sure that they were just getting paid off and that. Yeah, the church was against it, but a family like the Habsburgs, they can do whatever the fuck they want, and they did.
Sure.
So now we start seeing things getting a little more messed up, like uncles marrying their nieces. So Philip II of Spain was married to Anne of Austria in 1570, and Charles II of Austria was married to Maria Anna of Bavaria in 1571. They closed their familial loops even tighter because they, in the end, ended up being uncle and niece that were marrying one another.
Gross.
Then, let's jump the next generation. You have Philip III of Spain, who married Margarita of Austria. And those two were both actually the offspring or the children of two uncle-niece couples. They had two children, and then the two of those married relatives. So their daughter Maria married Ferdinand III in 1631, and their son, Philip IV, married the daughter of his sister's marriage, Mariana of Austria.
Oh my gosh.
Who is his niece and cousin at the same time.
Stop.
Disgusting.
I'm just, like, did it feel as horrible as it sounds now? Like, was it that bad? I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Like, it was all well and good and they were crushing it in terms of, like, power until this guy, Charles II of Spain. He's probably the best known inbred because he's the one that got fucked.
Oh my gosh. Imagine having that title. Best known inbred
of Habsburg. Charles II.
Oh god. Okay.
Okay, so when Philip IV married the daughter of his sister's marriage, Mariana of Austria. So Philip IV and Mariana of Austria, they have Charles II of Spain. So he's the product of, like, all sorts of overlapping family bloodlines. He's born in 1661. He is his own cousin.
What? Wait, what?
So, okay. This is so hard. Okay, your cousin is your aunt or uncle's kid, right?
Yes.
Because Philip IV married the daughter of his sister's marriage, which would have been Philip's cousin.
Niece. Niece.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the niece? Oh, and his cousin. But Mariana's parents were also related to Philip. Oh, it was Ferdinand. Ferdinand is still related to Philip. Fuck, this is so confusing.
It shouldn't ever be this hard. I don't know. Should never take more than, like... It just should not be this hard for anyone.
I mean, it's like he is... His position... Fuck, I don't know. But he's his own cousin. One of his grandmothers was also his aunt. And the other grandmother was also his great-grandmother.
Oh my gosh. What? I thought my family tree was confusing. But, like, you know how Luke is my nephew?
Right.
Because I have siblings who are, like, in their 50s. And he is only a year older than I am, but he's my nephew.
I don't know. I mean, well, so also, all of his great-grandparents were descendants of the same couple. So all of his great-grandparents belonged to the same parents, which was Philip I and Joanne. So, like, it's literally all in the family. That's so gross. Ugh. I don't even know how to make sense of that. The point is, by the time that he was born, their genes were a disaster. Charles was infertile. He had a tongue.
Good, finally.
Yeah, I know, right?
Jeez, a lot of this could have been prevented if
just no one
had just gotten those swimmers a little bit distorted earlier on.
Yeah, but unfortunately for him, he wasn't just infertile. He had a tongue so big he could barely speak. His jaw was so offset that his teeth couldn't meet together. He was unable to walk until he was nearly fully grown. And even at that point, he couldn't walk very well and he fell on a regular basis.
I mean, don't have to be inbred to have that problem.
And Charles II would be the last ruler of Habsburg of Spain. And pretty much from that point on, the Habsburg dynasty started to dwindle pretty quickly.
I feel badly for him because he's basically bearing the brunt of all of his family's...
I mean, he was one of, like, the worst cases, but if you start looking, and you should Google right now, the Habsburg family, okay. For quite some time, this family was known for their jaws.
That's usually seen as a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone wants a strong jawline.
Not like this.
But I think I just saw a picture of Charles II. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. This is wild.
Yeah, son. That's what generations of inbreeding does.
Okay. This is just going to be a lot of staring. This Habsburg jaw is truly something else.
Yeah. And so that's pretty much what plagues this family for generations. And it was like their identifying marker. It was like the Habsburg twins. Along with that, you start seeing, like, kind of, unfortunately, typical side effects of inbreeding. Like, they became infertile, like, just through the generations. A lot of miscarriages, a lot of stillbirths, a lot of children that didn't make it even to the age of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, Charles II, his parents, Philip and Mariana, they had 5 children, and only 2 of them lived until adulthood. By the time that Charles was born in 1661, he was the only surviving child. Charles was married twice, but he was unable to produce children in either of the marriages.
Ugh. Think of all the pressure, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you're feeling a ton of pressure to continue the family line, but with your family, you're feeling pressure from your family, but...
Gosh. Yeah, and then all the while you're, like, fucked. So the Habsburgs became known for their distinctive physical characteristics. They call it the Habsburg jaw, and it's associated with the Habsburg lip and the Habsburg chin that are all very prominent and just kind of like askew by the 17th century. So this is now called prognathism, and it's the modern medical definition for the famed Habsburg jaw. Mm-hmm. It's present in art of the Habsburg families, obviously, as you just Googled, and there are still remnants of the deformity in Europe even now in the 21st century.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you're taking such a strong trait and really hammering it through generation through generation, imagine, though, like, what if you didn't know really about all of that background? And you were born with a really serious Habsburg jaw, like nowadays, yeah. And then looked back into your family tree.
You're just like, imagine, shit.
Like,
I'd be so pissed. Like, you've got this insane jaw, and it's just because your family members wouldn't stop marrying each other for money. It's ridiculous. There was a study in 1988 that showed three generations of a family in Spain that had all of the same facial deformities, just like the Habsburgs. And the study noted that the family members bared striking resemblance to members of the Habsburg family with the Habsburg jaw. So they could still be out there.
Great.
Great. And actually, just last year, there were a bunch of articles that were written in journals that were posted on studies that essentially confirm that the Habsburg jaw and the different deformities that occurred are absolutely due to the inbreeding that took place, where before it was just like, I don't know, I guess more speculation, but now that we have like better genetic testing and science, it's like fact. Actually, I found a journal on 23andMe about the Habsburgs, which is kind of funny.
Oh man,
yeah,
it's fascinating. Like, familial traits are, just because obviously I don't have any with my family being adopted.
Yeah.
They're so interesting to me. So like looking at your family and then seeing their kids and then what traits pull through so much more in some families and some not at all. Like it's a wild world. It's a gamble. This gene pool stuff.
It's a real gamble. Yeah. The Habsburgs kind of did themselves off because they couldn't have kids anymore. There you have it. Just in case you were wondering, don't marry your cousin.
Okay. Well, that, I almost said that ship has sailed. Oh. And I was like, wait, that's the wrong term.
It's wrong not a term. Concern.
Yeah, that's not something I'm worried about. But,
well, for any of you listeners out there, don't push it.
Yeah. Think about your jaw.
Think about that jawline. Think about that giant tongue flapping around.
Oh, God. I totally forgot about that part.
Oh, I feel bad laughing at him because it's not his fault, but goodness.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks
for that history lesson.
Yeah.
I have no idea who that family is or who they are or were. So I don't know. Must have just gotten, I don't think I posted anything about them for some reason
thought that you like brought it up and I was like, oh no, don't say anything. Or maybe it was like somebody else on that we follow on something weird posted.
Oh.
And I don't know. For some reason I thought that you knew about it or had talked about it recently, but.
All right. Well,
that's it. We're not going to ask you if you believe it, because that's what happens. Unless you want to fill us in on any other details or any weird little connection or family tree things that you know of, feel free to tell us. I like to hear it, at least. I think it's interesting. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Something Weird Podcast.
And we want to hear every weird little detail of your stories, whether they be spooky, paranormal, or just plain weird. And if you enjoyed any bit or all of our podcasts,
please let us know with a big 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It makes a big old difference in us getting the truth out there.
Well, another week down, another week closer to the holidays, which is super exciting. And another week closer to me coming home.
Yes.
Can't wait.
I'm so excited.
So thank you all for coming back. This is your first time. Sorry about that. That was a weird one. But we're glad you're here and we're glad that you're listening. So until next time.
Stay weirdy.
Yee!